Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
We've all heard that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. So naturally, we spend a lot of time thinking about what to say, how to explain what we do, how to sound confident, and get our message right. But what if connection starts before we say anything? People don't trust you because your pitch is polished. They trust you when they feel heard, when they feel understood. And diving straight into your pitch without creating connection actually does the opposite. My name is Heather Schmidt, founder of Imperfect Harmony. I've been a realtor for 18 years. I'm a speaker and a strategist. I'm a full-time believer that your presence, how you show up, can be your greatest sales tool or your biggest downfall. I've been a top producer. I've been bottom of the barrel. I've been the "she's amazing" or "what does she even think she's doing?" And here's what I know for sure. No amount of strategy works if your presence is working against you, especially for high achievers. We've been rewarded for doing, for being prepared, being impressive, being effective, getting it done. But no one teaches us how to pause, how to observe, how to just stop before taking action. Think about when you're at a networking event. The room is full of opportunity, conversations everywhere, people exchanging information, scanning the room, talking, mingling. And you can see the patterns that start to show up. There's the person already mid-pitch. You haven't finished saying your name, and you are hearing what they do, who they help, and how successful they are. It feels really one-sided, and you're not sure that you want to do business with them. And you may even steer clear of them the next time you see them. And there's another person. This person listens, nods, will ask a question, loves to help you make connections, but never quite steps in for themselves. And when the day is over, you won't remember them at all. What's interesting is that in both of these scenarios, most people are focused on the same thing, what they're going to say. And very few people are paying attention to how they are actually being received. Think about the last meeting, networking event, the sales conversation you were in. How did you show up? Do you feel you talked a lot without making a connection? Did you walk away thinking, "I should have said more"? However you felt, you're not alone. We're human. We question what we do. We're not sure about how we're showing up and how it's affecting and how that even translates to sales. I learned all about the impact of our presence in a place that had absolutely nothing to do with business. I volunteered at an equine therapy center, the place where kids with special abilities experience incredible transformation, riding horses and working through structured exercises. The barn had its own rhythm, the smell of hay and horses, hooves echoing as we moved from the barn to the arena, quiet conversations as volunteers moved around preparing for the day sessions. And every shift started the same way. When you walked in, you checked the board for your assignment. The board listed the rider's name, the horse, and the volunteers partnered with it. And when you saw you were assigned to Elvis, it made your day. Elvis was this gentle horse, patient. Everyone loved him. Well, almost everyone. For reasons I didn't yet understand, I couldn't connect with him. He tolerated me grooming him, begrudgingly let me saddle him. But the moment I tried to fasten the girth, that's the strap that holds the saddle in place, I had to be on guard, because inevitably, he would swing his head around and try to bite me. This pattern continued throughout the day. He tolerated me while walking. But that moment we stopped and were standing side by side, he'd try to nip again. This went on for months. Sometimes they would need to assign another volunteer to help me. Other times, they would move me to work with a different horse completely. What confused me the most was that everyone else loved working with him. So I assumed the problem was that I needed to do better. It never occurred to me that I needed to do less. The big shift happened when they brought in a trainer to work with the volunteers. She explained to us how horses are wired for defense. They are constantly reading and scanning and trying to figure out what's going on around them. She told us if we want to understand a horse, to watch their eyes, look at their ears. Ears forward means they're curious. Relaxed into the side, the horse is calm. Turn back a little, they're listening. Pinned flat against the head means that they are anxious. That is an alarm going off. And then we talked about the eyes. Soft eyes meant calm. Visible whites means stress. Another alarm going off. So the next time I walked into Elvis's stall, I paused and observed. Oh, his ears were pinned back. And then his eyes wide, body tight. Nothing about him said, let's hang out. The warning signs, alarms were everywhere. So for the first time, I did something different. I didn't rush. I just went into the stall and quietly stood in the corner. No talking, not infringing on his space, not worried about getting the task done. I just was. After a bit, his breathing changed. His ears softened. His eyes lost that sharp edge. When I finally placed my hand on his side, I could feel the tension ripple through his muscles. So I continued to just be, standing next to him, breathing with him. And eventually it happened. He let out this big sigh. And I felt the shift. His muscles loosened under the skin, and he looked calm. After that, everything else was easy. Grooming him, tacking him, standing next to him, leading him around and working with him. No biting, no nipping. Same horse, same task, different outcome. That's when it clicked. Elvis didn't need me to stop being myself. He didn't need me to be quiet forever. He just needed me to meet him where he was instead of charging in the way I always did, probably rushing because I was late, yelling hi to the other volunteers as I passed by, being my natural, loud self. While I was being authentic, I wasn't being aware. I had no clue how my energy, my presence, just how I showed up impacted the people and the horses around me. And once I experienced that shift in Elvis, I couldn't unsee it. It became so obvious because people aren't all that different. In business, especially with high achievers, I see the same patterns. Some people come in strong, confident, capable. They fill the space. Others stay quiet. They listen. They support. They wait for the right moment. Both are well-intentioned, and both can miss the moment. With Elvis, nothing about the task changed. What changed was how I showed up. Before trust forms, people have a couple questions in their head. They want to feel safe. They want to feel heard. They're wondering if their time is respected. If those things aren't happening, they disengage. Not loudly, not dramatically, quietly. And this is where most people underestimate the impact. Because this isn't just about connection. This affects revenue. Sales doesn't happen when someone understands what you do. Sales happen when someone feels safe enough to move forward with you. If two people offer the same service at the same price with the same credentials, the one who wins the business is not the one with the better pitch. It's the one who made sure the other person felt heard and seen. I've seen deals stall that weren't about timing. They were about pressure. I've seen clients say, "Let me think about it," not because they were confused, but because they were overwhelmed. And referrals don't come from people who think you're smart. They come from people who felt taken care of. That's where the leverage is. One small shift in how you show up can change the entire trajectory of a conversation. And those conversations compound. If one more conversation each week ends with someone feeling comfortable, one more follow-up feels natural instead of forced, one more client feels confident referring you, that's not a massive overhaul. Those are micro shifts. And those micro shifts lead to more closed deals, shorter sales cycle, higher quality clients, and referrals that come without asking. People don't refer based on logic. They refer based on relief. They say, "You need to talk to her. She really listened." They don't say, "She had an amazing pitch." The flip side is also true. When presence is off, even slightly, you work harder for the same results. You chase follow-ups, over-explain, discount your services, wonder why your momentum stalls. Not because you're lacking skills at what you do, but because something felt off and the other person couldn't name it. With Elvis, the cost was obvious. In business, the cost is quieter. Missed opportunities, delayed decisions, conversations that don't come back around. This is why two equally talented people can have wildly different results. Not because one works harder, but because one is more attuned. This isn't about changing who you are. These are ways of noticing before you act. If you're the person with the perfectly practiced message, before you talk about what you do, pause and ask one question that shows the other person you're interested in them. You can say, "What are you working toward right now? What are your challenges? What matters most to you this year?" I think of this as noticing the ears and eyes before stepping closer. And if you're someone who waits for the pause, just counting the time where you can jump in, start by reflecting what you heard. Let them know what they said is important to you. Tell them how much they matter to you. Give them feedback about their struggles, their challenges, and their successes. One other micro action is to briefly match the other person's pace. If they're fast, meet them there slightly, then guide the conversation. If they're thoughtful, take a breath and slow down. If they're hesitant, soften and create space for them to lean in. This is like me waiting for Elvis to sigh. So the next time you walk into a conversation, before you speak, take one breath. That one breath is the difference between reacting and responding. When Elvis was uncomfortable, he didn't explain himself. He didn't say a word. He just showed it very clearly. And if I had kept charging into his stall the same way I always had, the message was clear. He wanted me out of his space. But that moment that I paid attention to my impact, my effect on him, everything changed. People don't always tell us when they feel rushed, overwhelmed, or talked over. They just disengage. So my question for you is, in your conversations, are people leaning in or are they quietly wishing you'd step out of their stall? You don't need a better pitch. You just need to notice. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And how you show up determines whether someone feels safe enough to let you stand by their side.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.